The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's stories include: stocks end higher, still log worst month since March 2020, and St. James Seafood sets opening date. Stocks notched broad gains Monday, but still posted their worst monthly loss since the early days of the pandemic, as Wall Street closes a tumultuous January racked by worries that imminent interest rate hikes will make everything in markets more challenging. The S&P 500 came back from an early 0.4% dip to close 1.9% higher. Even so, it's now 5.9% below the all-time high it set 4 weeks ago. It fell 5.3% in January, its worst month since falling 12.5% in March 2020, when it hit bottom after the pandemic suddenly shut down the global economy. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 1.2%, and the NASDAQ Composite climbed 3.4%, its biggest single-day gain since early November 2020. Both also ended in the red for January, with the Dow shedding 3.3% and the NASDAQ losing 9%. Wall Street shook this month as investors tried to get ahead of a massive shift in markets, where the Federal Reserve is about to start withdrawing the tremendous stimulus it's pumped into the economy and markets. The wide expectation is for the Fed to begin raising interest rates in March, among other moves to make borrowing money less easy. But uncertainty about how sharply and how quickly the Fed will move has helped cause severe swings on Wall Street, not just day-to-day, but also hour-to-hour. Morning drops for stocks have quickly given way to sharp losses in the afternoon, and vice versa. On Friday, a sudden upturn in the last hour of the trading managed to keep the S&P 500 from logging its fourth weekly loss in a row. There's systematic buying that goes on at the end of a really bad month like January, and that's certainly taken place over the last day or two, said Scott Lander, Chief Investment Officer at Horizon Investments. The S&P 500 rose 83.7 points to 4,515.55. The Dow gained 406.39 points to 35,131.86 after erasing an earlier loss of 229 points. The NASDAQ rose 469.31 points to 14,239.88. The month's heaviest losses have concentrated on parts of the stock market seen as the most expensive. Much of the focus has been on high-growth technology stocks, which were absolute stars of the pandemic amid expectations they can grow regardless of the economy. Tech stocks in the S&P 500 rose 2.7% Monday. The sector ended the month down 6.9%. The monthly drop was far deeper for tech stocks like chipmaker NVIDIA, which jumped 7.2% Monday, but posted a 16.7% skid for January. Anytime the Fed raises rates, the stock market has historically had at least some difficulty adjusting. When bonds pay more in interest, investors feel less need to reach for stocks and other riskier investments in search of returns. This time, the Fed is also turning off what's colloquially known as the money printer. It's been using to buy bonds to keep longer-term rates low, and it will likely soon remove some of those extra dollars sloshing around the economy. The market may have an even tougher time than usual with this rate hike campaign because the Fed is going to be moving when growth for the economy and corporate earnings may be set to slow, says strategist at Morgan Stanley. They pointed to what they see as worrying signs in data about U.S. manufacturing, among other factors. We remain sellers of rallies and of the view that S&P 500 fair value remains closer to 4,000 tactically, the strategist led by Michael Wilson wrote in a report. The S&P 500 closed Friday at 4,431.85. Others on Wall Street aren't as pessimistic, though. That's in large part due to broad expectations that the corporate profits will continue to grow. For the full year of 2022, analysts are forecasting S&P 500 earnings will rise 9.5%, according to FactSet. Stock prices have tended to track corporate profits over the long term, and if profits can continue to rise steadily, that could make up for one of the traditional effects of higher interest rates bought by the Fed, stock investors paying less for each $1 of corporate earnings. The yield on the 10-year Treasury rose to 1.78% from 1.77% Friday. The 2-year yield, which moves more on expectations about what the Fed will do with short-term rates, rose to 1.18% from 1.15%. The Fed seems to have license to act more aggressively, with inflation at its highest level in nearly 40 years and the job market looking strong. Investors are debating whether the Federal Reserve will raise short-term interest rates by only a quarter of a percentage point in March, the amount it usually does, or a half point. They're also building up their expectations for how much the Fed will increase rates over the course of 2022. Economist at BNP Paribas recently said the Fed may raise short-term rates by 1.5 percentage points this year from their record low of nearly zero, for example. That would translate to 6 increases of a quarter percentage point. Before that, it had been forecasting only 4 increases. Wall Street braces for more volatility as brutal January ends. Stocks bounced around Monday as investors looked to close out a tumultuous January, which is on track to go down as one of the worst months for the market in years. Markets loathe uncertainty, and the first month of 2022 has been threat-studded and unpredictable as investors assessed what Federal Reserve had in mind for rate hikes and historically high inflation. The pandemic shadow over the economy, a tangle of rising geopolitical tensions, and the ongoing fallout from a global supply chain in deep distress. Corporate earnings, including blowout performances from Apple and Microsoft, have thus far failed to impress. Wall Street's fear gauge, the SIBO Volatility Index, is up 75% year-to-date. This is a Game of Thrones market between the bulls and the bears, and so far the bears are winning, Dan Ives, Managing Director of Equity Research at Wedbush Securities, told the Post. The Dow, which is currently down about 5.5% for the month, shed about 200 points at the open after notching a late comeback Friday to cap off last week's dizzy spell when the blue chip index saw some intraday swings of 1,000 points. By 10 a.m., the Dow had recovered some losses but remained down 0.2%. The S&P 500 index, which has shed 7% so far in January, edged 0.2% higher, and the tech-heavy NASDAQ, which has endured its worst month since October 2008, had gained 0.9%. The biggest driver of the volatility by far, analysts say, revolves around the Fed. For years, the central bank has artificially propped up stock prices by keeping interest rates close to zero. The approach accelerated during the pandemic as an emergency bond buying program helped fuel the market's meteoric recovery in the second half of 2020. Meanwhile, Americans are wrestling with the highest inflation in 40 years, which has sent prices higher on everything, from groceries to gasoline to home appliances. A move to raise interest rates could ease the pain, but also could limit economic activity, which often hits stocks, particularly high-flying companies, hard. Now markets pricing in a handful of rate increases throughout the year as the central bank moves into its most hawkish phase of monetary policy in recent memory. At the Fed's first meeting of 2022 last week, Chair Jerome Powell did not detail how many times the Fed will raise rates, but said that the central bank would have to be nimble and humble in how it responds to data that unfolds during the year, given how quickly the economy can change. The schism between investors who fear that the Fed's action will slow growth and those who believe it will help to moderate inflation and boost companies' bottom lines in at the heart of gyrations in the market so far in 2022, according to Wayne Wicker, Chief Investment Officer at Mission Square Retirement. To bullish investors, volatility is delivering a chance to take advantage of significant price reductions, especially in hard-hit and pricey sectors such as tech, Wicker said. But the specter of slowing growth from Omicron, Fed intervention, and tougher year-over-year comparisons is worrying many. In this white-knuckle environment, Ives of Wedbush Securities told the Post, investors are looking to earnings from the hundreds of companies reporting this week, including giants like Facebook, Google, and Amazon. For more crumbs of good news, making this the most important earnings season in a decade for the tech sector. Strong tech earnings this week are a linchpin to stocks going higher or staying in the red during this Fed rising rate backdrop, Ives told the Post Monday in an email. It's also a jam-packed week for economic data, with investors hungry for insight into how the economy is faring as Omicron surge spurs staffing shortages and supply chain struggles continue. Reports on separations, which have been hovering near record highs for months as businesses struggle to hold on to workers, private payrolls, and December jobs will offer some clarity on labor market conditions. The economy grew 5.7% in 2021, the fastest full-year clip since 1984. But labor market tightness and the pandemic's ceaseless threats will make achieving further growth tougher in the current environment. Oil markets have continued to buck the grim trends of 2022, bolstered by steady production and the upward pressures of tensions in the Middle East and between Russia and Ukraine. Brent crude, the international oil benchmark, was trading about 0.5% higher Monday, around $89 per barrel. West Texas Intermediate, the U.S. oil benchmark, was also trading about 0.5% higher, around 87.25. Next, St. James Seafood sets opening date. For nearly 2 years, the Triangle has been without one of its most popular seafood restaurants. The wait is over. Durham's St. James Seafood will reopen this week for the first time since the beginning of the pandemic. Located at 806 West Main Street in Durham, the Seafood Palace from Chef Matt Kelly will open its doors February 2nd. This means the return of chowder fries and shellfish towers, buttery New Orleans barbecue shrimp, and baked crab dip. St. James has endured two tragic events in 3 years. In 2019, a fatal gas explosion closed the restaurant for 9 months. It was open 39 days before the COVID-19 pandemic shut down restaurants across the nation. After a few months of takeout in 2020, the St. James stayed closed for all of 2021. With the reopening, St. James brings in the talents of Tom Cuomo as chef de cuisine. Cuomo was previously the chef and owner of Raleigh's Papa Shogun, a creative mashup of Italian and Japanese cuisine, which closed in 2020 amid the pandemic. Kelly is also the owner of downtown Durham's Mateo Tapas and Mothers and Sons Trattoria, which have been open for most of the pandemic. St. James opened in 2017 in the former Fishmonger space on Main Street, collecting a 4.5-star review from former In-N-Out dining critic Greg Cox, who called the restaurant a seafood lover's paradise. Alongside old favorites like calabash-style fried fish, Crook's Corner's famed shrimp and grits recipe, and shrimp cocktail, St. James will add a salmon fillet with dill sauce and cheddar drop biscuits. Also one of the Triangle's top fried chicken sandwiches, brined pickles, and spiced with Creole remoulade, has been etched into the permanent menu. St. James will be open Wednesday through Saturday. In March, the restaurant plans to add a Sunday brunch for the first time. Next, lost a loved one to COVID-19? You can get help with funeral cost. With COVID-19 case numbers and death counts surging, many are facing a heartbreaking situation, the death of a loved one from COVID-19. If you have paid for a funeral in the last 2 years of someone who died from COVID-19, you may be able to get reimbursed for some of the cost. I believe it was one day about a week ago, we got 10 death calls in one day, said Dwayne Harvey, Assistant General Manager of Lawrence A. Jones and Sons Funeral Chapels in Kansas City. 8 of the 10 was COVID. FEMA is a federal disaster recovery agency that has a dedicated COVID-19 funeral assistance program. Here's how to apply for a reimbursement. How do I apply for FEMA funeral assistance? The only way to start an application is over the phone. Call 844-684-6333 to apply. Multilingual services are available, and the conversation should take around 20 minutes. If you qualify, you'll then need to upload the following documents into an online account or mail them to FEMA directly. The death certificate of the person who died. Itemize receipts and contracts for the funeral expenses that include the deceased person's name and list your name as the person responsible for paying the cost. Any documentation of money that was pre-designated to help cover the cost of the funeral. Life insurance doesn't count for this because it isn't specifically intended to cover funeral cost. You can read more about the application process on FEMA's website before you make the call. Who can apply for FEMA funeral assistance? Anyone in the U.S. except for people on temporary visas can apply for FEMA assistance for a funeral of someone who died from COVID-19. You don't have to be related to the person who died, but you do have to be able to prove that you paid their funeral expenses. This means gathering all the receipts, funeral home contracts, and other documents to show how much you paid. If lots of people split the cost of a funeral, one person should apply and provide everyone's receipts. You can list one co-applicant on your application. If you have paid for multiple funerals of people who died from COVID-19, you can apply for assistance money for all of them. Your household income won't prevent you from qualifying for assistance. What type of FEMA funeral assistance is available? FEMA will provide up to $9,000 per funeral in reimbursement checks or direct deposit. There's a limit of $35,000 per application if you paid for many funerals. This money can only be distributed to individual people, not to funeral homes, religious institutions, businesses, or other groups. What funerals are eligible for FEMA reimbursement? In order for a funeral to be eligible, the deceased person must have a death certificate stating the COVID-19 was the cause of death or a significant factor in their death. They must have died in the U.S. in the time since January 20, 2020. Exception: if the person died between January 20th and May 16th of 2020, their death certificate may be accompanied by a signed letter saying that their death was likely caused by COVID-19, even if that's not the official cause of death listed. This letter needs to come from the official who certified the death certificate, the local medical examiner, or the local coroner in the place where they died. Prepaid funerals and funerals funded through wills or other designated funeral expenses can't be reimbursed. However, a funeral that you paid for using the deceased person's life insurance money can be reimbursed. Can a funeral home apply for assistance money on my behalf? No. A funeral home can help you gather the documents you need and provide you with itemized receipts for funeral costs, but you have to actually apply for the reimbursement money yourself. Can I apply for FEMA assistance before a funeral actually happens? No. FEMA assistance is intended to reimburse people for funeral costs, not to pay them up front. In order to apply, you need to provide receipts proving that you incurred the cost of the funeral. If you have more questions about funeral reimbursement, the FEMA website is https://www.fema.gov/disaster/coronavirus/economic/funeral assistance. And it has an extensive frequently asked questions section. Next, Biden economic agenda on hold as more Americans hit hardships. American families are feeling the financial squeeze of soaring inflation and a persistent pandemic as fractious Democrats return to Washington this week, no closer to a deal on a tax and spending bill party leaders hoped would by now provide relief. Despite gangbusters growth at 6.9% annual rate during the final quarter of 2021, other economic measures tell a very different story. Average wages are falling behind inflation, and consumer sentiment plummeted in January to the lowest in more than a decade. More Americans are having trouble paying their bills than at any time since last March, shortly before the Biden administration began distributing stimulus checks and other relief measures. Hunger is rising again. It's an ominous start to a midterm election year for Democrats struggling to hold on to razor-thin majorities in Congress. President Joe Biden began his term with ambitions to address long festering economic inequalities and lift prospects for the poor and middle class. But an intra-party rift has halted progress on his centerpiece tax and social spending plan. We're learning once again the pandemic is hitting families hard financially, said Claudia Somm, Director of Macroeconomic Research at the Jane Family Institute and a former Federal Reserve economist. It's the people who have the least that continue to suffer the most. The financial squeeze many families feel may ease once the Omicron wave subsides, but new progress remains vulnerable to COVID-19 variants. Continued supply chain snarls and the Federal Reserve's ability to reduce inflation without choking off growth too much. The public isn't optimistic, with only a third in the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index survey expecting the economy to improve in the year ahead. Senators expect informal conversations to resume this week on Biden's Build Back Better package, which was stymied in December after West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin said he opposed it, according to a person familiar with the situation. With Republicans uniformly opposed and the Senate divided 50-50, Democrats need Manchin's vote. Senate Democratic vote counter Dick Durbin of Illinois said on ABC's This Week Sunday that he is urging Manchin and another holdout, Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema, to make a deal, while admitting he hasn't had any signal from them that they will. I don't want to give up on it, Durbin said, citing the popularity of elements like cutting drug costs. Let's find the things that really make the biggest difference. Let's move them as quickly as we can. We've debated it long enough, he said. House progressives, Democrats, have tried to set March 1st, the date of Biden's first State of the Union address to Congress, as the latest deadline for a deal. But Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Friday cast doubt on that goal. We don't have a timetable, Pelosi said during an appearance in her hometown of San Francisco. We will pass the bill when we have the votes to pass the bill. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.